Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. We just here at Rallets, we just desire to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to do everything within our power to let people know that Rallets is a country church that exalts Jesus Christ. We have a missionary heart, and we're dedicated to sharing the love of Jesus. I want to, if I might, say happy birthday to a few of our members and a happy anniversary to a couple of couples. First of all, wish happy birthday to Mr. Tony Underwood, who's celebrating a birthday today. Happy birthday, Brother Tony. Also, happy birthday Saturday, the 11th, to Brother Stephen Richardson. We love Brother Stephen, and he does so much behind the scenes here at Rallets and really keeps a lot of things going. We appreciate him so much. And also, next Tuesday, Michael Wilson will be celebrating a birthday. So we just want to wish happy birthday to all these wonderful folks, and we love them very much. Also, want to wish happy anniversary Friday the 10th to Bob and Jean Hemingway, and also Monday the 13th to Lauren and Joetta Sturgeon, and I hope they're doing great this week. That is a wonderful couple, and I hope you know them, because if you know them, they're a blessing to you in your life. I'd like to share with you, if I could, a little bit about some things that are very important to me, some things that we need to really try and emphasize in our own lives. You see, temptation, folks, in our society is not hard to come by. Now, often, whether through work or school or social meetings, we find ourselves in questionable situations. My friend, Brother Stephen, I was just talking about his birthday. He likes to quote a pastor we had up here some time ago who talks about gray areas. There are some gray areas in every Christian's life that they need to narrow down. They need to get those things taken care of. And we need to find ourselves in those questionable situations, standing for what is right and doing what is important to our Lord and our Savior, because we have a duty to behold, and when it comes to serving the Lord, the Christians ought to be the first ones to jump up and say, "Here I am, send me." Now, what do we do? When should we flee to save ourselves from temptation? When should we endure and shine our light as Christ's witnesses in dark situations? Well, we can find some of the answers in the New Testament letter of 1 Corinthians. I want to share with you, if I might, from the letter of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be looking at chapter 10. We're going to look at chapter 10, verses 23 through the end of that chapter. And then we're going to include verse 1 of chapter 11. So that you'll find this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 23. Here's what the Bible has to say about this situation. All things are lawful. This is Paul the Apostle writing. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, "This was offered to idols," do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, here's the verse we really want to put emphasis on today, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let me repeat that before I go on and close out our scripture. Verse 31 again, Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." And then Paul, I believe, makes one of the greatest statements you'll find in all of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, he says this, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Well, folks, we need to understand that a lot of times when temptation comes up in our lives, a lot of times when we find ourselves facing a situation that we may be unsure of on how to act, I want you to remember a story from the Old Testament. I want you to remember a story of a young man by the name of Joseph. And Joseph had just found himself coming up through the ranks of the Egyptian hierarchy. And there he finds himself in the arms of a woman named Potiphar's wife. And we know that Joseph understood it would have been a sin. It would have been evil for him to sleep with Potiphar's wife, yet that was what she was desiring to happen, and he found himself facing that great temptation. And I want you to remember what Joseph did. He didn't try to make a grand stand. He didn't try to make Custer's last stand and circle the wagons and try to fight this thing on his off. Oh no! Joseph, he fled the situation. Listen, there's times in our lives when we need to run from temptation. So when do we run? Well, one of the big issues for Christians in Corinth related to attendance at the many temples that filled the city of Corinth. I want you to understand, this was a beautiful, huge city. This wasn't just another small village on the outskirts of a large town. This was a big city. Thousands of people coming and going, and everywhere you turn, there would have been a religious center. Now, don't get that confused with being godly. Just because it's a religious center doesn't mean it's a place of God. I'll assure you, the mosque that they're attempting to build in New York City is not a place for Jehovah God. It is not a place for the God of Abraham and Isaac. It is not a place of the God that we serve. It's not a place for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a religious center. It's not a place of God. And we know that in many Christians that were in those temples and they didn't know what to do there. Those temples, now listen, they were not only places of worship, but also acted as the first century equivalent of social and business clubs and restaurants. You see, they would draw in tourism. They would draw in visitors from every corner. People would come out from under the rocks to see these big old temples. They were impressed by the architecture. They were impressed by the amount of money, surely, that it took to build such structures. And people were just in awe of it. And so they would go there just to awe upon the wonderful structure. And then they would have a social meeting. There their friends would be. There people would be gathered from the corners of the earth. And not only that, but you could buy food there. You could buy services there. We know that many of those temples actually used prostitutes in order to help worship. And so they became popular places. Those temples, the meat that was served there, the meat that was served there had been sacrificed by a priest to the god of that temple. And the feast that follows often led to an excess of drinking and immorality. And so they just delved into debauchery. They got into a situation where that these things would get out of hand. And as the people would be eating and drinking and having merriment, they would just get convulsed and they would just go into the wrong direction. And it was a place no Christian ought to find themselves. It was a place no Christian ought to find themselves being and participating in. So, what was a Christian to do? They were surrounded by these things. They were covered up by them everywhere they went. Well, the only possible response for wise men was to run. To run. Now, Paul gives us some reasons for this ruling. Why idolatry is to be avoided at all costs. You'll back up a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verses 14 through 22. Listen what he says. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry or run. Get out of there. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, watch this, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread." You notice that? Now look at verse 18. "Observe Israel. After the flesh, are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything?" No, that's not what he's saying. Watch this, verse 20. "Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Now, that was some powerful, powerful preaching. Paul is telling us, avoid idolatry at all costs. Now, often in our lives, we have to examine everything that's going on around us, because I'll tell you today, idols can creep in unaware. They'll creep into your life, and before you know it, you've got something up on a pedestal. Before you know it, you've got something that's taking up all your time. It's taking up all your money. It's taking up all your responsibilities. Maybe it's in front of your family. Maybe it's in front of your brothers and sisters. Maybe it's in front of your duties at work. But I'll tell you this, when it becomes an idol is when it comes in the place of God. Examine ourselves and avoid idolatry. Now, there was also a divided allegiance. Paul talked about verses 16 through 18. You remember there he said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For though we are many, one bread and one body. You see, how can a person who claims to worship Christ as Lord also, please watch this, how can a person who claims to worship Jesus also join in worship services to some idol? It's not possible. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You'll love the one and you'll hate the other. So how can a person who drinks from the cup of wine, which represents the death of the Lord Jesus, also drink to the honor of some God substitute or some idol? How can a Christian share bread with other Christians as a sign of their unity in Christ, and also share with non-Christians in the worship of another so-called God? And so I'll put it to you like this, and pardon me for being so blunt, but how can some sit in church on Sundays with brothers and sisters who love the Lord Jesus, and that Saturday night they were in the dance hall carousing with corruptible people, boozing it up, maybe smoking marijuana? Yes, I believe there's people in our churches, friend, who you could not tell it on a Saturday night that the Lord had ever touched their life at all. How is that possible? I'll tell you how. Jesus told a parable about the wheat and the tares. Jesus told a parable about some that'll grow up in the same places doing the same things as all those around them, but when the time comes to harvest, they'll be found as a fake. When the time comes to harvest, they'll be found as something entirely different. Jesus said to those, Lord, Lord, did we not know you? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And Jesus would say, depart from me, for I never knew you. The wheat look exactly like the tares. Except on Saturday nights, or Friday nights, or at the truck pool, or down at the factory. Paul says we should not have a divided allegiance. Now here I want to shed some hope, if I might. Friend, if you realize in your life you're trying to please two masters, if you realize in your life you're trying to serve the world, you're trying to serve yourself, you're trying to do things your way, you're trying to have your kind of fun, you're trying to have your kind of life, you're trying to have your kind of party, but you also want God in your life, I want you to know that God has enabled you through the power of the Holy Spirit to cut ties with all those things that are trying to drag you down into hell and to bring you into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that'll not only reform you, brother, but it'll transform you. It'll turn your life around and it'll make you into a new creation. That's the kind of God that we serve. So we know that we should not have divided allegiance. Now I want you to look at this. There was demonic influence. Verses 19 through 21, Paul talked about those that are serving gods other than the God that he served, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, for yes, Jesus is a God. For those that are serving a God besides Jesus, they are serving a demon from hell. Do you understand that? They're not simply worshiping some idol made with the hands of man. This thing has been empowered by hell itself that it might lead people astray and away from the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the fact that the idols worshipped in the temples in Corinth are not real gods at all does not mean that worshiping them is harmless. Demons or maligned spiritual entities, use them as a front to gain a foothold in the lives of idol worshipers. Now, even though these people may not be aware of their activity or their existence, it's nonetheless so, so true. Hell will use whatever it can to take your attention from the cross. If hell can use the lake on Sunday mornings, it'll use the lake on Sunday mornings. See, the devil would rather have you in that boat in the middle of that lake than it would have you sitting in that pew where you can hear the word of the Lord. If it's that extra overtime that you can gain, you say, well, I can make me an extra $100 if I work on Sunday. Friend, what's that $100 worth if you're not leading your family in the right direction? What's that $100 worth to see your sons and your daughters grow up in rebellion toward an almighty God? What's that worth, friend? What's it worth to be able to... That's the best time to do my grocery shopping. Oh my Lord, I've heard folks tell me that. I cannot believe that they would sacrifice an easy time at the grocery store for their souls and the souls of their families. I cannot believe today that we're trading our inheritance for a bowl of soup. That's what old Esau did. He traded everything that he had for a bowl of soup. And friends, we're not much different today. People today are sacrificing the very best for the very easiest. And friend, it's not right. We must refuse to do it any longer. And we must stop allowing demons to influence where we spend our time and our thoughts and our money. Now look at this. I love verse 22. We haven't read that verse yet. Let me share it with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 22. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? What a question. What a question. Now the obvious answer is that we absolutely should not provoke the Lord, who is far greater than we. This is a stern warning that putting ourselves in these situations is gravely dangerous. You know why they use the word gravely as an adverb? Yes, it means it could put you in the grave. It is gravely dangerous to provoke the Lord. Our God is a jealous God. Our God does not have any competition. He's not going to allow it. The very first commandment, dear friends, is the one that says a lot about what our God's attitude toward those who are supposed to love Him is. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. He is the great I Am. So, when to ask no questions? Paul addresses the issue of eating meat sacrificed to idols. Now, at the Corinthian meat market, there was a good chance that purchased meat had also come from sacrifice offered in the temple. For the priests often sold excess sacrificial meat. So was it safe for a Christian to eat this meat? Now, Paul's answer is to go ahead and ask no questions. However, he adds a caveat. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. My choice, our choices, should be based not just on what suits me, but based on what is these things. First of all, for the good of others. My choice should not be based just on what suits me, but for the good of others. A Christian might choose to forego his legitimate rights, such as eating anything set before him, rather than give unnecessary offense to a non-Christian who's present. Paul says this is not a matter of conscience for him, and no one should denounce him for something he has accepted as a gift from God. So think about your choices. Not just on what suits you, but are they for the good of others, and are they for the glory of God? The most important factor of all is the glory of God. What do I do, and does it honor and please God? What is it that most dishonors God and fails to give Him glory? It's that all human beings have sinned and fall short of His glory. So what brings glory to God? When sinners are saved, when people are put right with God through Jesus and begin to live in a way that glorifies Him. The governing factor in every decision should be to follow that course of action which will be most likely to lead others to becoming Christians and to avoid any action which might cause them to stumble. So think about your choices. Are they for not just based on what suits me, but they should be for the good of others and most of all, for the glory of God. And then Paul makes that amazing statement in chapter 11, verse 1. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Now, in a society where people stand on their rights and put what suits them first, Christians are called to be different. Paul tells us, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Will our actions and our behavior cause non-Christians to stumble, or will they help them toward their salvation? What a question. What a question. Revelation 5:12 says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Everything that we do, let it be done to glorify the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Friends, listen to me. When you deal with the Lord God, you're dealing with the ultimate being. You're dealing with one who has the power not only to destroy the body, but also the soul. And so great respect and great awe should be given to a mighty, mighty God. But let us not forget that that same God desires to have a relationship with you closer than your mama had, closer than your daddy had, closer than your best friend. Yes, the good news is that God loves you and that He sent Jesus to die on the cross that you might be able to have a relationship with Him that was in no other way possible. Thank God for the cross of Jesus Christ. Friend, will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father God, we thank You that You gave us such a clear understanding of what to do in the face of temptation. Father, I pray that You might help all of us to consider the choices that we make in our lives and realize that they should not just be to what our benefit is, but they should be for the good of others and most of all to glorify Your name. Thank You, dear God, for the cross of Christ. Thank You, dear Lord, for the blood that was shed that our sins might be cleansed. Thank You, dear God, that our debt was settled long ago. Lord, I ask that You bless everyone that's listening now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you, friend, from Rallets Baptist Church.